Here comes pressure again. Reed steps forward. He's got running room. He's gone. If he can keep it between the lines, he's going to score. Austin Reed, touchdown.
They'll bring in the big fella, Anthony Johnson Jr. here, bring in some tight end help along the line as well. Only two receivers, far side ball on the near hash. Mav Wolfley's in there, so is Shakiri Jackson. They'll go to Anthony Johnson Jr. through the hole on the right side. Breaks the tackle. He's going to put his head down across midfield, across the 40, the 30, the 20. He's at the 10. He's going to get it in for the touchdown. Anthony Johnson Jr., the old man, still has the wheels burning. He takes that one to the house. Jamie Smith. 66 yards.
Anthony Johnson Jr. doing it. The old man. Man, that's a little bit rough. Okay, Austin Reed, I think, rushed for two. Anthony Johnson Jr. rushed for, I think, two also. Big win, Argos, Saturday over Valdosta State. It was very tight. It was up 10, then up 3, then up 10, then up 3, then up 10, then up 3. Seriously, the whole game. And then we finally pulled away toward the end and won, and lots of fallout from that in a good way. Joining us now by phone, as he does every Monday after a game, Brian Henry. He is the UWF Argos Director of Athletic Communications. Hey, Brian, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Go Argos!
Hey, go Argos, and we are still playing football, so it's always a good week.
Very good. So let's talk, before we get to what happens next, let's talk about this game for a second. Man, like, we just could not pull the separation, and then in the second half, we got it a little bit, and then a little bit more, and of course, in the end, it looks a little bit like a blowout up 19, but still, just defense holding opponents from scoring just seems to be our biggest challenge.
Well, I mean, you're looking at a team in Valdosta that was number two or three in the country in like over half the offensive categories. So, I mean, I think it's not like the coaches expected to have a shutout of them, but at the same time, they did make good plays. I mean, that's a hard team to stop. I mean, it's kind of basically a mirror image of ourselves as far as talent. So, I mean, it's disappointing you don't get a 15 or 17-point defensive performance, but our offense can't be stopped. That's the other thing that I think the coaches know going in is that nobody's going to stop us, anybody. I mean, even this next week's opponent is going to have a tough time, and they're really good at defense too.
Yeah, we have crazy offense. And what was it? Did I see this on your release that Valdosta State's average points scored against is like 12? Something like, and we put up 60?
Yeah. I mean, they've had a lot of schools in the teens that they've held them at and things like that. And I think the most they've given up was the 30-something to West Georgia, which, I mean, if you want to, like, sort of try to compare teams and stuff, that, yeah, West Georgia beat us. It was a fluky finish and stuff like that, but they're a good team, too. I mean, there's three really good teams in the GSC this year. And all three of them are in the playoffs.
So let's turn to that now, because obviously that's the next thing happening. We're going to – okay, when I saw this bracket, I just – maybe I'm too much invested. Maybe I'm too much of a homer. But I saw this bracket, and I thought, we just beat Valdosta State, and now we're a three seed in our region. We have to play an extra round, and above us in the region, you've got Bowie State, and now Valdosta gets number one in the region. We just beat them, and they get a bye week. Explain this bracket to me if you can.
Well, it's a full body of work. So you've got 10, 11 weeks that the committee is looking at all of the data. And Division II regional tournaments are completely different than anything at the Division I level, where there's a 30-person committee picking the four teams. I mean, there are, I'm looking at the criteria now, it's like 12 bullet points of data that they're looking at, that this eight-person committee in each region is looking at. It goes in-region winning percentage, D2 winning percentage, the strength of schedule, your opponent's strength of schedule, your head-to-head competition. So yes, that is a factor. But I mean, I've been on some of these committees in other sports, and a lot of times that's just the tie-breaking factor. That's not like the first factor where they say, well, Team A beat Team B, so we automatically have to start with them ahead of Team B. You're looking at all of these calculations, this data that the NCAA computers have in front of you. Results versus common opponents.
Did we get hurt because we won that game against a D1 opponent and that didn't really count for us?
See, that's the other thing. In D2 world, Division I opponents, they mean nothing. It's like the game didn't exist, like our Fort Lauderdale game.
That's insanity.
And that game wouldn't have counted either if we had played Fort Lauderdale, honestly. I mean, in the eyes of the NCAA, that's why it's frustrating for a lot of our programs, but especially football, trying to get D2 region games because they're the most important part of the process for postseason qualification.
It's just
so when you hear our administrators or our coaches say, yeah, we can't get a SIAC team or a South Atlantic Conference team to play us, they're trying because they know how important it is to get our teams the best possible situation in postseason.
All right. Well, I mean, I hate to hear that because it makes sense and it's a crazy system. You know, I see the mm-hmm. logic of how, based on those criteria, we wind up getting a 3 seed. I just think it's the dumbest thing in the world that it winds up that way, especially at the end of the year. So, so we're gonna play Newberry at home, first time at home for a playoff game, right?
I mean, that's the part that like people keep overlooking. They're so angry about a 3 seed. Like, we get to be at home, guys. I mean, that's the most exciting part. I mean, I know we're a dominant team on the road, but at least week 1, we're at home, and we get to show out and show up and have some fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun game on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. So that's the first one. Certainly, we're getting excited about that. Then we also have it's going to be a slightly busy weekend for your staff next weekend because men's soccer also won, what, their 10th conference title, and they're going to be in a tournament, right?
Yeah, they won the GSC tournament over at Brosnahan yesterday. That was an exciting game. So, yeah, the NCAA selection shows for both soccers come out this evening. The women are in good shape to make the tournament. They didn't quite get the balls bouncing their way, so to speak, to host games. But the men's team is expected to host a game. That would be Sunday at 1:00 at UWF, not at Brosnahan, if they're fortunate enough to get one of the top 4 seeds in the super region for them.
And women's volleyball is going to have the GSC, right? That's the tournament coming up this weekend?
In volleyball, yeah. We continue with GSC championships being Pensacola being the GSC championship city. Volleyball hosts the GSC tournament beginning Friday. Our first match won't be until Saturday afternoon. And that's the disappointing part for our fans is that just the way everything works out, football's at 1 and volleyball, the 2 semifinal matches are Saturday at, I believe, 2:00 and 4:30 or 2:30 and 5:00. But
ouch.
It's disappointing, but it's just the way things happen when you have success.
Yeah, I mean, they don't cater schedules to other sports, unfortunately, and that's we're victims of our own success and luck of the draw in this case. Well, we'll look forward to obviously UWF and Newberry at Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, and I guess we'll take the extra week to play and stay hot, and maybe hope Valdosta cools off a little bit just sitting. Brian Henry, UWF Argos Director of Athletic Communications, as always, Brian. Thanks for the time, man. Thanks for all the work that your office does to keep us informed, and go Argos.
Go Argos, Andrew.
All right, 6:46 on News Radio 92.